The Earth is a very small stage in a vast cosmic arena. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors so that in glory and triumph they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot.
Welcome to the Urantia Radio Podcast, the Urantia Audio Podcast. And it's good to have you back. Thank you so much. I want to update you on some of the great stuff that's going on with the Urantia Foundation. The President's Report was given out on August, and what's been happening this year from Mo Siegel at the Urantia Foundation in Chicago. So I wanted to share with you some great news on the highlights of how the Urantia Revelation is growing. And it is growing. The second quarter of 2021, according to Mr. Siegel, went well. They summed up the quarter as service as usual with the internal team, consultants, the UBIS school team, translators, revisors, board committee, and board members did their job. So things are looking like they're getting back to normal. Among the things that they accomplished in the second quarter, and you know that they have to do this because it's a nonprofit, so they have to declare all this stuff. They have to kind of give an account as to what they're doing, but it's also great that they share with us, those of us who follow along and see how the revelation is unfolding in the world today. So some of the highlights of the year, including they secured printing bids and paper supply to print 30,000 English, Spanish, Portuguese, and French European Urantia books, which is great. What else went on? They published the Turkish translation online, which is good news. That's interesting because so much of the early history of the Andites took place in Turkey and that region. So I'm sure new readers in Turkey being introduced to the revelation will find many of the ancient history quite fascinating. They also started a board study on the interface of evolution and revelation. Once again, starting a board study on the interface of evolution and revelation. Perhaps we can expect with the foundation a further elaboration of what this study is all about. Sounds curious, doesn't it? Also, they continued the necessary steps for launching the fifth revision of the Russian translation, made progress on completing the Spanish revision, and the advance of the revision of the Portuguese translation. Portuguese, a very, I don't want to say popular, but well-spoken language in places like Brazil, South America. How are the sales doing? 59,000 books, printed and electronic, have found their way into Truth Seekers, according to Mo Siegel. That's great. 59,000 people bought a book, the Urantia book. I wonder what percentage are people buying new copies for friends or people that are discovering the book on their own. Year to date, book sales are up 29%, which is good. Total Urantia book sales for the first 6 months of 2021 year to date were up 29% to 12,534. What else is going on? There's a new program called the Mustard Seed Fund, which was launched by the Gar Jameson Foundation, which is a gift he gave to seed the revelation around the globe through grant funding. The terms of the approving grants will be developed over the next 12 months and administered by staff and trustees. The grants will have a direct effect upon spreading the fifth epical revelation. I have a couple of great ideas about that. If you want to give me a call or send me an email, I think I have some. I'd be curious to know if there's some things I could probably offer in this regard, since it's what I do for a living. Let me see what else here. 91. Oh, this is exciting. The simplified Chinese. I guess there's a simplified and a traditional Chinese language because they write in script, but they have a simplified. I mean, obviously, I guess you could do the Urantia book in Mandarin. Could you? Wow, what an undertaking that would be. But they have completed 191 papers of the simplified Chinese version. And this is text that they've been using in China since 1949 when the current guard took over. The second most written Chinese language is traditional Chinese, and they are working on that as well. Traditional Chinese is spoken in Taiwan, Hong Kong, the U.S., and Macau. but they are working on, and they're almost completed with the translation up to 191, so they've only got five more papers to go. The traditional language of China conveys the Urantia books much more accurately, so their eventual goal would be to have traditional Chinese translation of the Urantia book, which could then be offered to 4.6 billion Asians. I want to remind people that something that caught my eye was the fact that the religion of Falun Gong in China, which is very similar to Tao and sort of borrows heavily from Buddhist concepts and a little bit of yoga kind of thrown in, it's the closest thing that they could get to a religion without drawing the ire of the CCP, which didn't happen because in 1999, Jen Zemin, the premier at the time, got real edgy when he found out that Falun Gong had exploded across the country to 100 million followers. And the Chinese government are very afraid of religion because they see that people that are religious tend to like to do things like overthrow governments and pursue human rights endowed by our creator. So it's amazing to me that in a country that has tried very hard to suppress religion, that still in the 90s, after almost 70 years of communist rule, secularist rule, that there would still be a hunger expressed in the fact that so many millions of people were to embrace this new religion that had emerged. So that tells you about something about the human spirit. It tells you that, and I think the Urantia book says, there's never a danger of religion falling out of favor with humanity. Human beings have an inner spirit that cannot be denied. So one day China will be possibly, or sections of China could be possibly embracing the Urantia book. Very interesting. So we're taking the steps to make that happen. Farsi translation is up to 100 in paper 159, which will be very effective. They're working on the Filipino translation as well. So growth continues in the Urantia Foundation in Chicago, and the efforts cannot go unstated. Let me just share with you some of the people that I want to thank. Gar Jamison, of course, Marilyn Kuliecki, George Mitchelson DuPont, Judy Van Cleve, they are the trustees. They've all been intricately a part of the Urantia Revelation for decades. Also, we want to thank Gayton Charland, Sherry Cathcart Chavez, Gary Dienstadt, or Dienstadt, forgive me if I mispronounced that, Mark Hutchings, Jerry Johnson. Oh, we talked to Jerry, didn't we? Go back a few podcasts. Boy, she's great. She runs, or she and I believe it's Gary, that are doing work overseas teaching young Indian girls how to read so that they'll be literate. They'll have a chance at survival. Also, Chris Wood from the Urantia Association, former head of that organization, recently not resigned, but just passed the baton. Vicky Yang, Guy Perrone, Minu Claire, those are the associate trustees, part of the Urantia Foundation's efforts to spread the revelation. Associate Trustee Emeriti, Victor Garcia Bori, Marta Elders, and Claire Milanis. Hank Milanis is the Trustee Emeritus and Executive Director, my favorite, Tamara Strumfeld. She's always been there. I think I've made 2-3 visits. We always have a good chance to have a cup of coffee and chat, and I think I'm overdue for a visit. Anyway, so that's what's going on at the foundation. A lot of good stuff. Keep up the good work, guys. We're all in this together. So when we come back, we're going to have a conversation about heaven. Take a little musical interlude to get you in the mood on the Urantia Podcast. Stay right there. Or go get yourself a coffee. A cup of coffee, maybe some tea. Maybe a bran muffin. We'll be right back. Let me say, welcome back to the Urantia Radio Podcast, and we're going to be talking about something that is particularly exciting. We're going to learn a little bit about Havona. Havona is spelled H-A-V-O-N-A. It is a part of the Central Universe. We'll get to that in just a moment. I know many people who listen to these podcasts are very familiar with Havona, but you know, in the interest of those people who are stopping by and may not have all the information, or they're new to the revelation, you know, the purpose of this podcast is to study and share the revelation. So in studying it, we read the papers, and then when we share it, well, that's when I talk about some of the insights that come across my mind when I'm reading these, and hopefully you share the same or can learn something from. So I guess in that way, these podcasts are meant to instruct as well as inform. So, and Havona, yeah, it sounds like heaven. Sounds like heaven. And one wonders if there's a root connection, some etymological root to Havona. Probably is. I have to check in with the folks over at the foundation for that one, or maybe over at Truth Book. But it is exciting because if you look at the geographical or the physical perspective as the Urantia book presents creation, it's imagine if you would a bird's eye view looking down on creation from above, the entirety of known creation. The Urantia book says that there are seven outer universes, seven universes. Each one constitutes a super universe aggregation of nebula, black holes, dark matter. Everything that constitutes what we see when we look out at the nighttime sky. The Milky Way is one small fragment of a greater part of creation that will eventually hold, according to the Urantia book, what is it, seven trillion worlds or something, 70 trillion life-bearing worlds, something like that. I think it's 70 trillion. So each super universe would have 10 trillion potential worlds. So that would bring you to the 70. So imagine, if you would, these seven super universes, and they spin around the central universe, which is Havona. And Havona is consisting of 1 billion perfected spheres of life. That's a big number, 1 billion. And this universe came into existence, talk about a big bang, when the third person of deity, if we're talking in terms of time, which deity is eternity, so even that's a little bit misleading. It's not as if there was a point in time when Havona came into existence. It's always been there. It's always been a representation of the infinite spirit, when the infinite spirit completed the circle of Trinity. So in Trinity, we know that we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Well, at some point in existence, when these three came together as one and completed the circle, that's when Havona came into existence. Paradise is where God lives. Paradise is central. It's within Havona. So again, looking down from a bird's eye view, you would see the seven universes circling around, and then there would be Havona in the middle as one circular universe consisting of 1 billion worlds. And then within that circle is paradise. Now, George Park says that paradise is 9.7 million light years away. If you go back to the early, in fact, I think I just reposted that podcast on astronomy. So if you go look back a couple of episodes, you'll see that George Park kind of gives a mathematical equation, and it's based on some findings that he's and, you know, we think, well, you know, eternity must be eternity away, or paradise must be so far away. But if you're living in a circular universe, the circumference may indeed be large, but the center is, according to George, 9.7 million light years away. So aside, pushing that aside, I want to share with you what life is like in Havona. And it won't take long. I'm just going to read through, and I want you to kind of, if you could, just get into a state of being where you can kind of let the words flow in. Don't think too much about them. Just let them paint a picture in your mind of what we're talking about here. Try to conceptualize what Havona, or heaven, I call it heaven. It seems to me that that's why they probably picked that word, because it sounds like heaven, but it's much more than just this nebulous, you know, idea of going and sitting on clouds and drinking tea and worshiping God all day, which is what most religions would say heaven is. Perfection is not in one single step. According to the Revelators, we don't go from being humans, all of a sudden these perfected little angels, without experience. We have to, it's a process that takes time. So at some point after we go through this process of the mansion worlds, and then we go to the system and live and learn and grow, then from there, the constellations, Adentia, constellations representing 100 systems. And then from Adentia, we go on to a couple of other steps. Finally, we get to Nebadon, which is where Michael lives, Christ Michael, and his worlds. And then from there on to the minor sectors and then the major sectors. And then finally, we get to Orvinton. Orvinton is our super universe headquarters, of which there are seven, referring back to the seven super universes that circle paradise. And then from Orvinton, our universe headquarters, we go to Havona. And that's where we are pretty much spirit beings at this point. You know, we've shed all of our material tendencies. I don't know what the time frame would be, but let's just say it takes a million years. You know, when you have all of eternity, what's a million years, right? So here's how they describe Havona. So we've gone through all these, this growth experience in our existence up to this point, and now we go, we're crossing the barrier that separates the super universes into this circular universe known as Havona, which is, consists of 1 billion worlds, and these worlds are inhabited. They're not empty. There's a real economy of spiritual living beings on this, in this place, on multiple worlds, not just one, a billion. So I'll read to you now what it says from paper 14, paragraph 2. We'll just row through the highlights. Spirit beings do not dwell in nebulous space. They do not inhabit ethereal worlds. They are domiciled on actual spheres of a material nature. Worlds just as real as those on which mortals live. The Havona worlds are actual and literal, albeit their literal substance differs from the material organization of the planets of the seven super universes. None of the physical beings of the central universe would be visible to your ancients. Neither would any of the physical stimuli of those faraway worlds excite a reaction in your gross sense organs. If a Urantia mortal could be transported to Havona, he would be there deaf, blind, and utterly lacking in all sense reactions. He could only function as a limited, self-conscious being, deprived of all environmental stimuli and all reactions thereto. Havona is a spiritually perfect and physically stable universe. The control and balance stability of the central universe appears to be perfect. Everything physical or spiritual is perfectly predictable. But mind phenomena and personality volition are not. We do infer that sin can be reckoned as impossible of occurrence, but we do this on the ground that the native free will creatures of Havona have never been guilty of transgressing the will of deity. Through all eternity, these supernal beings have been consistently loyal to the Eternal of Days. Eternal of Days are Trinity, or Paradise Origin sons. We have, sort of on our local level, we have Faithful of Days. But we'll get into that at some other point. Just know that they represent paradise. Neither has sin appeared in any creature who has entered Havona as a pilgrim. There has never been an instance of misconduct by any creature of any group of personalities ever created or admitted to the central Havona universe. So perfect and so divine are the methods and means of selection in the universe of time that never in the records of Havona has an error occurred. No mistakes have ever been made. No ascendant soul has ever been prematurely admitted to the central universe. Concerning the government of the central universe, there is none. Havona is so exquisitely perfect that no intellectual system of government is required. There are no regularly constituted courts, neither are there legislative assemblies. Havona requires only administrative direction. Here may be observed the height of the ideals of true self-government. There is no need of government among such perfect and near-perfect intelligences. They stand in no need of regulation, for they are beings of native perfection, interspersed with evolutionary creatures who have long since passed the scrutiny of the supreme tribunals of the superuniverse, or the superuniverses. The billion spheres of the central universe constitute the training worlds of the high personalities native to paradise and Havona, and further serve as the final proving grounds for ascending creatures from the evolutionary worlds of time. In the execution of the Universal Father's great plan of creature ascension, the pilgrim of time, or the pilgrims of time, are landed on the receiving worlds of the outer or seventh circuit, and subsequent to increased training and enlarged experience, they are progressively advanced inward, planet by planet and circuit by circle by circle, until they finally attain the deities and achieve residence on paradise. The planetary construction of the Havona spheres is entirely unlike that of the evolutionary worlds and systems of space. Nowhere else in the grand universe is it convenient to utilize such enormous spheres as inhabited worlds. Triada, which is a word that denotes a certain form of spiritual existence, triada physical constitution, coupled with the balancing effect of immense dark gravity bodies, make it possible so perfectly to equalize the physical forces and so exquisitely to balance the various attractions of this tremendous creation. Anti-gravity is also employed in the organization of the material functions and the spiritual activities of these enormous worlds. The architecture, lighting, and heating, as well as the biologic and artistic embellishment of the Havona spheres, are quite beyond the greatest possible stretch of human imagination. You cannot be told much about Havona. To understand its beauty and grandeur, you must see it. But there are real rivers and lakes on these perfect worlds. Life on the divine worlds of the central universe is so rich and full, so complete and replete, that it wholly transcends the human concept of anything a created being could possibly experience. The social and economic activities of this eternal creation are entirely dissimilar to the occupations of material creatures living on evolutionary worlds like yours, Urantia. Even the technique of Havona thought is unlike the process of thinking on Urantia. These worlds provide the stimulus of all human impulses towards the attainment of true spirit values on the highest conceivable reality levels. Havona is the pre-paradise training goal of every ascending mortal. Here, mortals attain pre-paradise deity, the supreme being. Havona stands before every will creature as the portal to paradise and God attainment. Paradise is the home, and Havona the workshop and playground of the finaliters, and every God-knowing mortal craves to be a finaliter. The central universe is not only man's established destiny, but it is also the starting place of the eternal career. The starting place of the eternal career of the Finalizer, as they shall sometime be started out on the undisclosed and universal adventure in the experience of exploring the infinity of the Universal Father. So there is your description of Havona, first uttered on these podcasts. I haven't delved too much into the first part of the Urantia papers, but I thought this would be a good place to start. It would be hard for me to believe that any one human being, maybe it's just me, but that any one human being could possibly have an imagination which could compose this kind of literary description of heaven. And it's not even the complete heaven. It's one aspect of heaven. Paradise would be considered heaven. That's where you're actually in the physical presence of the Universal Father. Havona is just what they call it, the playground and workshop of the Finaliters. Finaliters are what you and I will eventually become once we work our way through the universe as ascended beings. So there's a stop along the road of Havona. Great reading to be had in paper 14. And we'll leave it there this time up on the Urantia Audio Podcast. Please email me if you have questions, urantiabookradio@gmail.com. And until next time, we'll see you again here on the Urantia Audio Podcast.